and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello, and thank you for joining our show today. With me on the line, I have Reverend LaVon. Hello, Reverend.
Hi. Hi.
Thank you for joining us today, LaVon, and as well for last week. Just to remind everybody, last week we talked about the soul connection, and how to become aware of what your soul purpose was, or why the soul incarnated in this particular lifetime. Why did it choose the family? Why did it choose this planet, this dimension, even the race? So we talked about different ways in terms of finding out how to get in touch with the soul. And we also talked a little bit about what the soul is. What I have been able to understand is the soul is that spirit part of you. It is your vehicle in some sense. It is what is allowing you to move from body to body, not just on this planet, but in other realms. And contained within the soul is everything that's contained within the source. So it's your little individual god or goddess. Now, some of the ways we talked about last week to become aware of the soul was to take a look at the life and your circumstances. What kind of situations have you been creating? What type of situation were you born into? And use those kind of landmarks as a way to understand perhaps what your soul was trying to attain or become more aware of or expand out into. I advocate as often as possible that to enjoy yourself is the greatest glory. To enjoy your existence is the greatest gift that you can give to yourself and to mankind. If we went through all this trouble to be alive, if we went through all this trouble to find a way to exist and interact with each other, I think the greatest thing that we could do is enjoy it. But there are a lot of blocks to enjoying ourselves. As we can see, the planet is not in pure harmony and peace with one another. So today I would like to talk about how to get to a greater place of joy through the freedom of forgiveness, which we have talked about before, but also through cleansing the field or cleansing your aura or your consciousness, or some people call it the soul, of things that might be preventing you from really enjoying your existence. Now these things are, they might be hindrances at the moment, but in the end they will be gifts, because whatever challenges that you bring to yourself, once you overcome them, once you transcend them, you have a gift, you have a skill or ability or a power that you didn't have before. So LaVon, if you could share with us some of the, if you don't mind, some of the challenges that you've had to perhaps overcome in your earlier years that have proven to be a skill for you, or proven to be a blessing, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I used to be a gospel worker for 20-some years, and there's a kind of, well, especially the group I was with, because I'm learning that there's a lot of Christians out there that know a lot of this already, you know, because they're not so in a box like I was. And so that was probably one of my more difficult changes or healings, was to change that mindset. Even though the experience I had to experience to get to that point where I was almost really willing to even go this way was tough. I think that was probably my toughest. But I'm so grateful that the universe allowed it, because it's what made me turn around, because I literally turned around like a 360. You know, so that experience probably is the experience that was rough, but, you know, it was worth it all, you know, because now I think I'm more free. I still realize I have some part of the box yet, you know. It's like things pop up, and I just, now that I've learned how to clear it, okay, you know. Even last night I had a dream, and I get dealt with dreams a lot with my, that's how my soul shows me issues a lot. So
your challenges, so the challenge of your mindset is what,
yes,
allowed you to open it up. So the limitations that you, let's say, were born into?
Well, born, but then I went more boxed when I got older. Because that's all I knew. But I did feel good in that box. I don't want anyone to think that you can't be happy. I mean, if you really believe in something and you realize it was a box, you know, we all choose to come here to experience certain things. And now, you know, now I just look at things differently. Even though I was in a box, I still had that mindset where I really did believe people had to do their thing. If they weren't interested, then they weren't interested, you know, because a gospel worker, it's like what we're doing now, but I taught the gospel. And not everybody wants to be gospel living.
Yeah. Well, we're all unique. And no two paths can be the same because every soul is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important for us to practice going within and finding our own truth. I do think that sharing the wisdom that we have gained through our personal experiences, sharing those that wisdom with others helps people. It does. It helps you get to a higher level. But in the end, you always have to go within and find the truth, find that wisdom that's inside of you. Because in the end, when everything passes away, you'll only be left with yourself.
Yeah, so what you need to do when someone shares something that's kind of new or even old, and you used to think it was, you know, evil or whatever word you want to say, you need to ask, is this for me? And one way that I used to do it, even when I was a gospel worker, I would ask God to open and close doors for me. But then I've learned that with the door open, I had to walk forward with it. And so that's why even in that box, for say, I had a piece that was unique. You know, the
well,
only
I'm
thing
glad
is,
you said the word peace, because a lot of people are asking for peace. A lot of people are asking for joy. But sometimes it's really not easy to attain it. It's very challenging to find the peace because I think sometimes we don't know what peace is.
Well, and people feel that and they see that in you when you have peace, because the other day my husband and I were at a gas station, we were going to go ice fishing, and this lady says, oh, she's afraid of ice fishing because of a childhood experience. But she looked at me, she says, but it's really peaceful, isn't it? And I said, yes. She saw that I had this peace. So she's thinking, well, that's one reason she has peace, because she goes ice fishing. So it's kind
of... And it could be, you know, there's lots of different ways to bring about peace.
Well, when you go 6 miles out into the lake and there's 30 feet of water underneath you plus 2 feet of ice, I mean, you're with the wilderness. You're with, you know, you're out in with God out there. And it is quiet. We don't bring a radio or anything. I bring a few things to read, or, you know, my special little cards that, you know, gives me my answers and things. And I always bring a book out there. So it is very peaceful if you can get it comfortable. Sometimes, you know, the wind howls and it's like, oh, you know, the cold will get at you even with a heater in your tent. But... So there's all different ways that we find peace, at least part of the puzzle, I guess you could say.
Yes, part of the puzzle is finding out which path works for you. I practice a lot of Qigong, which is energy work, and it really releases any blocks that I might be holding. Since we are all made up of energy, and I am an energy worker, it's wise for me to practice some type of energy work on myself so that I can always remain in a state of balance. And in balance is very easy to come by, especially in this world, because we have to work so many hours and we're so bombarded by the media and noise and chaos around us and violence that it's very, very easy for a soul to feel imbalanced.
And forget what really matters. You know.
Yes, we do, and it's very challenging because people do have to go to work. They've got to go to work, and they've got to pay their mortgages and their car payments, and they have to take care of the children. Not a lot of people have the kind of choices to work 2 or 3 hours a day and spend the rest of the day in meditation. So that's not a path for the people on this side of the planet anyhow. But quiet time, let's say ice fishing, is helpful. Just a short meditation, even in the car, 15 minutes. I used to work 3 jobs at once, and right before my second job, I would just spend 15 minutes. I was a residential treatment center worker, and I would spend 15 minutes before I went into the center just centering myself. I meditated and said some affirmations and put out my intent so that I would have a good shift. But the most important thing was I just took 15 minutes to myself. Some people think that we need to take an hour, or some people call it 48 minutes or whatever, to do a very special, specific type of meditation. But when you put up those type of limitations like that, when you put those type of expectations up, and you don't have the time to do that, you're going to sabotage yourself. So 15 minutes is enough. If that is all you have, then it's enough. Take the time, and you can sit in the car, and you can be very quiet, and just try and slow down the thoughts. We can do that. There's all different types of books on meditation, so I don't really want to delve into that today. But what I do want to do is help people find a way to enjoy themselves. Because when you are enjoying yourself on a consistent basis, it doesn't matter what happens to you or around you, you will still enjoy yourself. You're not going to let outside circumstances affect you. And one of the ways to do that is to purify the consciousness of thoughts that didn't come from within you. I call that consciousness clearing. You were born with people projecting thoughts at you from the time you came onto this planet. And those thoughts weren't yours. You were a baby. You couldn't have had any of those thoughts. So part of the process of becoming an individual god or goddess, or attaining this god consciousness or self-realization, is discerning what is a thought that's come from within you and what is a thought that's being placed upon you by somebody else. And part of the way to do that is to feel with your heart. So there's a lot of people who think that it is not good to be selfish. There's a lot of people out there who think it's very bad to be selfish. It's considered evil. But for some souls, selfishness is what's in their best interest because they've given so much away, they don't have a self anymore. So they're just trying to rebuild their self in this lifetime. So then whose truth are they going to rely on? The truth of their church or their congregation or their family or the church which is inside their body, which is their soul? They have to go within to find out what is their truth, which means going in that heart area and feeling it. Because how are you going to know, how do you know what the truth is? You've got to feel it from the heart. Opening up the third eye and becoming aware of the higher realms is key. Of course, we have to do it. I spend a lot of time on that every single day just to make sure that I'm seeing clearly. But I have to feel clearly too. We've got to go into that heart chakra and start clearing out all that betrayal and that heartache and that emotion and the neglect and the abandonment that we've had to experience, so that we can use that heart as our intuitive guide. You can either use the heart or the gut. Some people say that intuition comes from the gut. Some people say it comes from the third eye. Whichever way it comes from, is it a clear tool? So if you're driving a car and your windshield is full of mud, can you see clearly? No, you've got to cleanse it in some way. So some of the ways to cleanse it is to go within and find out, are you really the one who is the author of the thought? Are you the author of your life? Are you the one writing your book, or is your book being written by your parents and your husband and your brother and your son and your mother and your uncle and your aunt? I think that this God consciousness, this higher level of consciousness that we're trying to attain, comes from being individuals. We can surrender to our higher self. That is sometimes the easiest and the only way to go, but make sure it's our higher self. We don't want to surrender to somebody else. We want to surrender to our higher selves. So we authors of our own books. Every life that we have is a book. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. And the beginning and the middle is usually written by other people. You're doing what you're told. You're doing what you think you should do. You're doing what you think is good. You're trying to avoid being punished. Now let's hope that the last half, or the last third of that book is self written. So we need to ask ourselves, how much of my book am I writing? And how many times do I say, I can't do this and I can't do that? How many times do I limit myself? the other day I was considering where to build the school that we want to establish, and I'd like to go to Europe, and I instantly put limitations up. But why should I put limitations up? I'm the one writing the script. So all these TV shows that we watch, there's somebody writing that script. There's somebody saying, okay, I need this main character to not have to work all day long and all night long to pay the bills, because she's the main character and she needs to experience things. I need a drama. So the writers who are probably still on strike, the writer decides what happens. The writer decides it's in the best interest of the main character to win a large sum of money or to get a much better paying job so she can work less, or that something comes along and she gets a bonus. The writer decides this for the character, except what happens is we are the writer and we are the main character, and sometimes we forget we're writing the script. It's an interesting concept, and for the most part, it's true. There isn't another way to create your life. You're the one creating it. On a soul level, you're creating your life. Now we've got to find out who's writing that script. So when do you think you started writing your own script, Levon?
When?
When do you think that you started to write the script of your life? When do you think it was you choosing to live the way you live now, and when do you think you started thinking for yourself?
Well, when we were, it depends on what you want to call it, the astral plane, heaven, and you realize you needed to experience something so, and basically to grow spiritually, and whatever we realize we need to. So I guess, you know, before we even entered here, if you're talking about this particular lifetime, I guess before I chose my parents and came through them here, you know, to experience what I'm experiencing.
So what time in this lifetime that you're at right now do you think that you started to think for yourself, that you started to question, let's put it that way, you questioned authority, you questioned this illusion that we have around us, what some people call the matrix, but it's still an illusion?
I think I start looking at things maybe around 7 or 8. Before that, I remember some things, but that's when I started to realize things, so I guess that must be when I started to. And it's interesting because the church that my mother raised me in, their theory was that a child need not go to church till you were 7. So
what do you think happened? What was the cause? What was the catalyst?
Well, one thing, my mom and father had a really comfortable life, and my dad got antsy and bored with it, so there was, 8 of us children, and my mother was going to have number 9. And so we moved in a basement house because Dad wanted to buy a house. He didn't want to spend big rent. So I think that's what did it, because we had this very nice, comfortable home. We moved into a basement house that we had to pump water and cook on a wood stove, and So we moved into the country, like. So I think that was, I loved it, but it really confused me, I remember. But, you know, I do remember starting to think of more about God then, you know. I remember thinking, you know, before that, I remember thinking about God. I just lived, you know. So, and life was more easy, too, those first 7 years. Then I even remember one time when we went into the basement house, because it was in the woods, and I got really a weird sensation that lasts for a while. And now that I'm doing this energy work, I realize it was energy. I believe because we moved into the woods, I was getting this wonderful energy from the nature. But I remember I kind of thought, what's this? So now I understand. I just thought of that about a month ago. I thought that must have been what happened to me. I had a touch of nature energy, you know, pure energy.
Nature's purifying, going out into the woods. That's why I live behind a forest.
Yep, yeah.
I chose that specifically. Nature is purifying. Also, music, certain types of music is cleansing. Mm-hmm. But the catalyst, so it sounds like what you're saying is the catalyst of moving, the change itself.
Yep.
From a place of comfort to another type of place where things were different, coupled with being in nature, pushed you pushed you to start thinking for yourself, like pushed you into a higher level of awareness at a very young age.
And the life was so easy and simple. And then can you imagine moving into a basement hole in the ground? There was 8 kids. Mother was pregnant with number 9. Or number 8 she was pregnant with, that's what it was. And we had 2 bedrooms.
And that is stressful. That was pushing you beyond your limits, right?
Yes. And see, my mother, I'm very intuitive and very empathic. I can feel. And my poor mother, and I look back now, because I never saw her cry as much as I did in that house.
Yes.
And as a child, I remember thinking she was crying because the house was a mess. So I grabbed a broom and I'd clean it, and because I didn't understand. And my dad was, into alcohol at that time because he had more money. He only paid $60 a month rent for the place, so he had a little extra money, and he left. We were alone there a lot, and a lot of things happened while we were there. So even though I loved it because there was a lot to do outside, but the place could have been a little nicer.
But it pushed you to another level. It started making you think.
Yeah, it changed me completely. I mean, and then I had to help. I didn't have to, but I helped my mom a lot. I think it's because I felt her pain, and I didn't, as a child, what do you do to help an adult? So, I took care of the babies and helped a lot there. Well, we had to chop wood. We had to pump water, and warm up water on a wood stove, and we lived in a nice city, and all of a sudden, boom, we lived like
pioneers. And it must have been difficult. It must have been very difficult.
Yeah. And for my mom especially, And I have claustrophobia, I did, and I think that was really hard for me. I was very emotionally, I cried a lot there.
So did I when I was young, because I was an empath, and I was, incarnating for the purpose of being a healer and facilitating.
And helping people, and we need to feel their pain to know how we can help them, right?
Yeah, and not even just that. I actually think that because once you move into, there's different realms of consciousness, which I've written about in my 101 blogs and my books and whatnot, but there are different realms, and lots of other mediums have talked about them. But the realms are taking place right here. When I used to talk to people who had crossed over, they weren't anywhere other than right there in my home. Everything is right here. The higher realm is right here. The lower realm is right here. Everything is just taking place at the same place. Forget about the planet Earth. We think we're on the planet Earth, but what we are is we're just consciousness, and we're using a body to experience ourselves. So the difficulty pushed you out of the lower level of consciousness that you were dealing with. You were unaware, but also very young. Let's be real here. And you started to question your reality, which is what I'm trying to get people to do: is question what you see around you. Question it. Are we really separated from one another, or are we divinely connected and we're ignoring it? We're denying our connection, and that's why we're in such a mess. Question things. Do you really need all the things that are being pushed on the commercials to be happy? Does a bigger house make you happy? Does a nicer car make you happy? And if it does, go for it. But if it doesn't, what makes you happy? What's the question? What is the, million-dollar question? Is what makes you happy? Sometimes what makes you happy isn't what everybody else is thinking makes you happy. It's you going within and finding out what makes you happy. And you actually need the time to do it. And it needs to be your own happiness you're seeking. Don't seek happiness for your spouse or your parents or your children. Seek happiness for yourself. And then when you seek happiness for yourself and you attain that level of enlightenment or peace or harmony, you will naturally share that with others, because it'll just be a place. It'll just be the place. It'll be a state of mind.
Yeah, just being with you will make people, they'll feel your happiness, your energy.
That's right, because energy just is. Everything is energy.
It's like a frequency, right?
It's just a vibration. It's just a frequency. So if you walk into a room and, one particular room in the home, which is also my temple, is a place for just prayer and meditation and worship. And we have all the candles and the incense there, and it's a very sacred space. And if I'm upset, the first thing I do is I go to that particular room, because the energy in that room is so pure that as soon as I walk in, my frustration or my anger or whatever it is that I'm carrying is automatically cleansed. It's purified before I even walk in the door. You get to a point where your energy is so high and so pure that you won't be able to be touched by the lower energies. Now, I'm not at that place right now because I'm still affected, but there's other masters on the planet who are at that place. But I have been able to bring that level of energy to a section of my temple, and when I do go in there, everything is released. That's where all the rituals are performed. All the frustration is released. Immediately it's released. Because the higher the energy, when the energy is high and it's pure and it's clear and a lower energy comes close to it, it's immediately transmuted. It doesn't take time. If you're dealing with, you know, one low energy and another energy just a little bit higher than that lower one, it's going to take time to bring it up to its level because it's not much higher than what it's trying to transmute in the first place. But when you're trying to attain that crystal clarity, that's what clairvoyance is. People want to know how psychics become psychic, quote unquote. They're clearing out that third eye. They're purifying their field. And they're seeing with the third eye, which is just a chakra right above that nose there, right in between the eyebrows. Some people say it's right in the center of the forehead. It really doesn't matter. It's a chakra, so it's an energy center, and it's there on the forehead. You can cleanse it. You can use aromatherapy and crystals and chanting and incense. And you can cleanse the third eye so you can, quote-unquote, become psychic. But is that going to bring you happiness?
Actually, there was a twin psychics on this TV show, and they say it's the hardest job to be a psychic.
Yeah, it is not easy being psychic. It is not. Well, who wants to know what everybody else is thinking, and who wants to see into everybody's life? It's not the easiest. That's, you know, when it sounds fun when you're not in it, and then once you get in it, you realize this wasn't what you wanted. But it's part of our nature to actually be able to see everything and to sense everything. That's part of our nature. We're denying our nature when we don't use our intuition. I don't practice as a psychic. I'm a teacher and I'm running a seminary program, but I still have to use those faculties to find out how best I might help the participants in the program, or how best might I write my books. I have to still gear what I'm sharing towards the people I'm sharing it with, and you need your intuition for that. And the intuition is within me. It's not given to me by anybody else. It was already within me. I just had to activate it. And I activated it by cleansing my aura. I cleansed my body, and I cleansed my mind, and I cleansed my field. And when you do all this cleansing, which doesn't mean starving to death, this cleansing and this purifying, this detoxifying, allowed me to clear my consciousness and raise it, and then I started becoming aware of those higher realms that are here. But I didn't become a superwoman. I'm still the same person. I just can see a lot more, as you can see a lot more. It's been, I don't know how long I've known you, but when I first met you and now, you can see a lot more than you did then, and all you did was just work on yourself, cleanse your consciousness, change your thoughts, think for yourself. Anything in particular that you might want to share with everyone today about what you did to get where you are?
Well, I was just thinking, but listening to us talking, you know, there might be some people out there thinking, that sounds like, you know, well, what? You know, I mean, how do I clear? How, you know, but I think the main thing is, like you said, is when a person is not happy or no, there's a piece that's missing, you need to clear. And how do you clear? Well, at least when I clear, for example, I've been having a dream about an individual about three times now in the last week or so, and I pay attention to everything else but that person. And then I realize that, you know, that I'm being shown that that person has something that I have. What part of that person? And I'll say it like it is, this person and I have had issues, you know?
That can be the issues.
Yes. And the issues are not because I don't even hardly deal with this person, but he doesn't like the fact that I deal with his wife, okay? So I basically just stay out of his way, but then I'm realizing, hey, what? There's something that I have that he has. I mean, what part of me is he symbolizing? And I just realized that this morning, you know, three times I had to see him, though. Isn't that funny? It's like, because I have had a little issues this morning with even you feel it with some pain sometimes, you know, in your body, and you're thinking, what's going on here? What's this pain? Well, anyways, so I had to think about it and think about it, and I realized the part of him that bugs me the most is in me. Right? Isn't that what the universe is trying to tell us usually?
Yes, yes, usually.
So I had to say, I forgive you, the individual, and I had to forgive myself. So that's one way of clearing. And another way of clearing, at least for me, is understanding. Just like there was, you know, especially as a child, sometimes things happen. And when you get older, you look back and you realize, the only reason my mom didn't let me go with those children was because they were going to do something dangerous. You know, but when you're a child, you don't see that. So then you have to forgive your mother for you thinking at that time she destroyed your happiness. I'm just thinking of a certain situation. And then you had to forgive yourself for the ill thoughts, you know, the things that you thought or said, because we can be our worst enemy. And it's interesting, if, like I tell the gals that I work with, and I have, you know, have worked with men, but mostly ladies with this trauma erase, I call it. You can do this on your own, but if you just can't seem to do it, it's just like you're stuck. I mean, you can't get peace, you can't get that happy, peaceful feeling, then you need to call someone that has a higher vibration or has done it a lot more, because there's something about when two work together. Especially someone that's more higher energy or more experienced, it does seem to help a lot. So that way you don't feel, you know, sometimes, you know, usually people don't do it for free because we have to eat, and to eat you have to get money. So, you know, so you do need to try to work on your own. But if it doesn't work, that usually means, why is it that way, though? Why is it that a person can clear, and all of a sudden you can't? What do you think the reason is?
Well, there's a couple reasons. We're talking about energy. And sometimes you can't see your own energy field. You can only see it reflected in somebody else, which is what you were talking about with the dream that you had about the guy. What he was doing was he was reflecting something to you about yourself that you hadn't accepted or you hadn't healed, right?
Yeah, or else didn't see it, because you don't see, like you said, you don't see yourself like others see you.
Yeah, it's really hard to see yourself. It is very challenging. You really have to be at a place of self-awareness. And even then, you still can't see yourself. But, you know, it's a part of evolution. We will all one day get to the point where we're going to see ourselves clearly and others clearly. We're going to live in a place of harmony and peace and joy and oneness. We are going to get there. It may take some time, but it's our divine right. It's the divine destiny of existence to get to the point where we are going to live peacefully. And it's a goal that we can attain if we focus and we concentrate and we believe in it. So you were speaking before, well, why do you have to call on somebody else? Sometimes you get to the point where you get stuck. Well, the way I see it is, if we didn't need one another in order to grow and evolve, there would only have been one person on the planet. But there's billions. So we're here together to help each other. So sometimes you get to a point where the energy might be too difficult for you to deal with. And one of my shamans that I worked with, he had a story that he liked to tell me. Because I had a lot of stuff that I had to clear when I was younger. I decided, hey, I'm going to be, at the time I was training to be a shaman, I wanted to be the best that I could, and I knew I had to clear all that past life stuff that I was carrying. You cannot be a pure and clear channel if you haven't cleared out what you're holding in your field and what you're holding in your body. So I took on that challenge of really delving in and digging out and throwing away what I didn't need anymore. And there were some issues just that were too big for me. And he said, you know, imagine a big stone in your front yard, a big huge rock. And he said, try and go pick it up. And I tried, which was the issue that I was trying to get rid of. And he said, if you can't, then just wait until you can, or ask someone to help you lift it. It really depends on how important it is. If that big rock is an eyesore and you're looking out your front window every day and you think, God, I cannot handle looking at that thing again, then call someone up, someone up and say, can you please help me move the rock? You just want to move the rock away from the front window. You want to move it out of your field. And if you're not strong enough to do it yourself, let's just say it's heavy, you call on someone to lift it. But it doesn't mean that you're not powerful. It doesn't mean that you're not God, goddess. It just means that you asked another God, goddess to come and help you. Or you can choose just not to lift it at all. And you can say, okay, this is my rock. This is difficult. I'm not ready right now. Maybe in 6 months I will be, and I'll come back at the issue again. And when you said issue, I was laughing before, because one of the same shaman I worked with used to say to me, it's not the issue that you have the problem with. It's your issues with your issues. And he was right. I had issues with my issues. I was upset that I had issues. I wanted to be perfect. But little did I realize it's the imperfections that are going to help me become a well-rounded individual who's happy and peaceful with herself. It's those very issues that I was angry. I wanted to be perfect. I really wanted to be this perfect healer, and that's impossible. No one is perfect. There's perfection in everything, but if we're in flesh, no one is perfect. I'm not going to be a Barbie doll. I've got human tendencies. I'm working through them, trying to become naturally spirit, but it is what it is. And when you can overcome that desire to be perfect, then you can realize, hey, I need some help. Somebody come lift up the rock.
Yep, yep, yep. And sometimes that's even allowed to show us that, because we can get, I think, looking where I'm at, you know, I think we could get to that point. And then when we have to go to someone else, it shows us, you know, that we're, you know how the world looks at things. There's a difference on the spiritual greatness of things. So, but we all have our own walk. We all have our own eye salve, you know. So we need to, I think that's what's really has helped me a lot with this new mindset is that people are exactly where they're supposed to be. And just like us.
Everything is divine order. So your situation, if you want to take a look at it, your life right now, everything is in divine order. So your job is perfect. Your husband, your mother, your wife, your son, your daughter, your neighbors. Everything is perfect because it's bringing you to a greater place of self-awareness. And why is the self-awareness so important? Why am I always constantly hitting everybody over the head with the self-awareness? The self-awareness is what you're going to have when this body is gone. Eventually, the body goes. Eventually, the physical body will not be able to sustain itself. And eventually, your mind is going to want to leave this physical body. Maybe you're going to want to find another one. Maybe you're going to want to go to another realm. But regardless, it's your self-awareness that stays intact. And your self-awareness is the indicator of whether or not you're going to be happy or unhappy. So what do I mean by that? Okay, self-awareness. I have been working with the energies of oneness for the last, maybe 6 years through the channel teachings of my mother, Angela. And it's compiled in the Seven-Day Program in our books, but I've been really working with this reality that we are all one. So therefore, when somebody does something to me that's very, very inappropriate and very painful and hurtful, the first thing I do is forgive them and forgive myself, because I realize they couldn't have done any better. We're all in this dream together. They couldn't have done any better. So I move myself out of that lower realm of anger and separation and doubt and resentment and bitterness. I move it out by using my awareness to get to a place of peace. All the things that make us angry, if your neighbor is pissing you off, you use your awareness to overcome it. Accept and love the neighbor. What is the neighbor showing you? Just like you were saying in the dream, is the neighbor showing you something you don't like about yourself? And once you accept it within yourself, your neighbor will stop bothering you. Everything is perfect to get you to that next level. If there's something in your life that's just, it's sticking out like a sore thumb, spend time with it, investigate it, because it is actually a gift. It's a million-dollar gift. It's a gift. And once you get to the gift and you figure out what the gift is showing you, then that comes your wealth. Because if this part of your life, let's say it's your job, just sucks and it's really ruining your life, then finding out why you hate it and overcoming it would then change it. Because you're using your awareness to change your existence, which, in other words, you're creating your reality with your mind. You're creating your reality with your mind and not everybody else's. Not the people in power who are in office. It has nothing to do with the president or the people who we're voting for. Your reality is being created by your mind this very instant. And you change it consciously when you start to look at the different symbols or the different characters that are in the play. And you rewrite the script. No, I do not like this neighbor anymore. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for showing me that, yes, I am very arrogant and I wanted everybody to know I was very wealthy and yada, yada, yada. Whatever this guy is showing you, once you've released him from that lesson, there's no reason for him to be there. And then once you've done the lesson, he won't bother you anyway.
You'll have less people that have the same thing in your life. In fact, you may not meet people like that anymore once you clear it, because we're like
once
a magnet,
right? Once you clear it, once you realize that the gift, that rock is a gift. So once you've cleared it, once you've picked up the rock and moved it away, and you've really learned what that rock was trying to share with you, there is no reason for another rock to come in unless you have to really know it well. Let's say forgiveness. I had lots of issues with forgiveness. I really wanted to know forgiveness. I wanted to perfect forgiveness. Let's put it that way. So I constantly created situations in which I would have to forgive somebody else. And that although it wasn't pretty, it was necessary for me to get to this level. My joy is being spirit. My joy is knowing spirit. Therefore, in order to get to that place of knowing spirit, I took a shortcut. And sometimes, instead of, you know, meditating for 20 hours a day, which I didn't have time to, I created an enormous amount of pain and suffering in my life that I had to overcome it through forgiveness. And then when you forgive, you become like spirit, because spirit is forgiving. Spirit doesn't need anything. You can't hurt spirit. So I chose a shortcut, let's say, quote-unquote, to get to the gates of heaven. What is heaven? Unconditional love and acceptance and peace and harmony. So I chose a shortcut. It was tough, very, very painful, and I don't know if I'd really suggest it, but I chose it, and that's how I got here so fast. You can do it through different ways. You can do it through meditation. You can do it through all these different ways. But a soul chooses the way that it's going to get there as fast as possible, I guess, and that's what my soul chose. And then now for the rest of my life, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to naturally forgive because I worked on it so much. Now it's a natural tendency. You want it to be natural. You don't want to have to force it. So naturally I forgive because I realize the other person's me anyway. And I remember I've done a lot of things that I can't even believe that I would ever do, but I was unconscious. I didn't know any better. When you're unconscious, you do some really, you know, unloving things because you just don't know any better. When you're unconscious, you have no idea that whatever you do to somebody else, you're doing to yourself. You don't know. It's only when you awaken and you realize, oh, my goodness, I have really damaged somebody's soul really badly by my actions. You don't know when you're unconscious. And that's part of evolving, getting to the point where you accept people for who they are, where they are, and what they're capable of doing. Acceptance is peace. Accepting everyone all the time is the only way to get peace. Peace can come. You can't get peace through changing your circumstances all the time. You change them. You change your circumstances through your mind, through the frequency of your mind. So let's say you move into a neighborhood and you just cannot stay in the neighborhood. It's just awful. So you pick up and you move from that neighborhood to the next neighborhood. And then lo and behold, you get the same type of neighbors because you're running away from your problem. You've got to deal with the issue. And once you've dealt with the issue, then you don't have to move anywhere because your frequency will be the magnet that will be attracting new things into your life. So my frequency right now is I'm attracting people who are interested in the school or in the seminary or in the teleconferences or who are interested in discussing ways to help raise the consciousness of the planet and the universe. That's what I'm attracting. It seems like that's what you're attracting. But I wasn't always attracting that. 10 years ago, I was attracting chaos. I felt helpless, and I felt like I was a victim. So I had to move through those personality types to get to where I am now.
And not just your personalities and issues as much as your spiritual mindset. Because like when I was a gospel worker, one of my main jobs was door knocking, and I would go to doors with people that were at the same level. They were into the Bible only, Jesus Christ only, all those kind of things. And I was drawn to those people. Now I've noticed that a lot of the folk I meet are still not against Jesus Christ or the Bible, but they're more into this kind of a level, more talking about energy or past lives, things like that. So that kind of energy, too, is where people can be, right? They can be in an energy of a spiritual, different awakening.
That's right. I can't say that one path is greater or more true than another.
Yeah,
I'm just, my path has gotten me where I am, so I'm sharing it, but that doesn't mean that the Christian faith is not just as true as my faith. Mine is mine, yours is yours, everybody's is everybody. It's just what is bringing you peace. If it's not bringing you peace, if you're not living in peace, then find another path, because apparently the one you're on isn't working. Now, sometimes it's hard. I, for a long time, did the same things over and over again. And I thought that doing the same thing harder would bring about a different result. That just doesn't happen. You've got to do something a little bit different. Even though what you're doing might be great, if it's not getting you what you want, you need to do something different. So I wanted to expand my consciousness out a little further a few months ago. I felt that I could see more, and I felt that there was more to know around me. I think there's always more to know, and I felt that there was more to know, and whatever I was using at the time I didn't think was helping me. So then I switched to Qigong, and I started doing a lot of energy work, not just with other people, but for myself. And that's where my shift came in, but I needed to do something different. I was doing a lot of other things before. I was doing meditation and yoga before, and I was chanting, and that's excellent stuff. It was really helpful, but I wanted something else that I didn't have at the time, so I needed to partake in something different. So that's why on the retreats, you've been on one of the retreats, we do Qigong. It's just a form of energy work, or Tai Chi. And we also do yoga, and we also do breath work. A couple of weeks ago, you and I did a lot of breath work with the sacral chakra, just teaching people how to breathe from that lower chakra there, right by the navel, so you can get into your body. Some of us are so sensitive and so anxious that we're not even in our own bodies. And it's hard to create a wonderful life if you're not in the body in the first place. So I was always up, 3 feet above my body, but that wasn't doing me any good. If it wasn't purposeful, if it wasn't beneficial for me to be in a body, then I wouldn't have taken on one. So there's no point in me taking on a body and being three feet above and being in the astral and not here in the physical. That didn't help anybody. I mean, I was able to see a lot of stuff, and that was helpful in my career for the first part, but then afterwards, it's not. This physical realm is just as divine as the astral realm, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We're here to learn, and we're here to grow and evolve and to embrace and to love life. You can't do that if you are not in your body, so that's why we practice a lot of the breathing techniques. But there's so many different ways. There's so many different things to do. But if you could take a look at your life now and see if there's something that you are not happy with, you might need to choose something else, another teacher, another book, another program, another station, whatever it is. Choose something different and see what the results are. You don't know what it is until you experience it. Experience is the greatest teacher, because that's where your truth is going to come from. The truth is going to come from your experience. You can listen to other people's dogmas and talks and lectures, but the truth is always going to come from within you. Anything that you'd like to share right now, Levon? Any insights or revelations over the last week since the last show on the soul connection that you think would would be beneficial for someone to hear.
Well, it's interesting because I notice that I'm more observant even if I watch a good movie or just talking to someone or I read something and, you know, I learn. I look at things differently than I did. You know, there's like for example, it was a movie on about an individual that his whole tribe was wiped out, and the other chief of the other tribe kept telling him, "You're still," because you know they were trying to teach him to forgive, but he couldn't. And they didn't try to stop him. They just would say, "You obviously haven't learned to forgive." And then he finally did. And it was interesting. They didn't try to stop him, and he was literally, you know, killing. I mean, it was kind of a violent show, but he was killing the enemies, but they didn't try to stop him because, again, that was part of his journey. And I'm seeing that even like I used to, when I would get a certain way for me to get meditate, I would fall asleep, and I'm noticing I can't, that doesn't seem to work like it used to. So obviously I need to, like you said, try different things to get peace again. But I wish I could be still in that mode because that was simpler. But
it was, and it could just be a different type of meditation. It could just be, you know, the meditation that you were doing just wasn't, and you needed to take a break from it. Because there's all different types, especially in the program that we teach in the school. Every module has a different type of meditation. Because no two people are alike, so how can the same form of meditation work for everyone? That's why I do my best to involve a different type with every module. So there's all these different options. We need options. We need to make choices. And in order to make choices, you've got to have a variety. If you've only given one type and you do that one type over and over again, where's the choice? The choice is what brings you to the level of consciousness where you realize you're creating your reality, and that's where power comes from. That's where peace comes from, that conscious creation. So as we're winding up here, I wanted to just close off with something from this module one that we're working on with level one. And this is from section three, integrative exercises. Remember you are the light. Remember you are the source. Remember you are the divine. Remember you are the holy. Remember you are the love. Remember you are the sacred. Remember all that you are, and you will know oneness with all that is. It can be no other way. And it is so, and it is so, and it is so. So thank you very much, Levon, for joining me today as we talked about the soul and how to become more self-aware. Please give out your information if there's anybody interested in having a trauma race with you or being interested in the program that you run out there.
Okay, and I thank you for allowing me to be on this show. And if anyone wants to have a trauma erase, my phone number is 218-425-3983. And if you just even want to call and ask questions, you don't have to take up, you know, a session, because sometimes people don't really quite understand. And then my email address is 77guided77@wictel.com. That's like GUIDED, and Wictel is excuse me, WIKTEL.
Okay, thank you so much. And my number is 1773-831-4496. It's listed on the website with the radio show. Thank you, everyone, for listening today, and I look forward to next week as we discuss further on this topic. Thanks again, and take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Shreese Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Shreese sending you light and love on your journey home.